Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We're going to talk about this in more detail coming up about Michael Slager. If you don't remember him, he is the officer that shot Walter Scott in the back when he was running away I believe it was South Carolina. We're going to dissect in a little bit because we're hearing stuff coming out that there is a hung jury and there are some issues there. And we're going to find out more about it. And I want to break it down, but I want to just give you that news because God only knows what's going to come out of this. This situation, but I'm and producer Phil and I have been scratching our heads here for the last like 10 minutes going, are you serious? Are you serious? But let's jump to yesterday and have it. Issues abound. Look, this whole thing that took place with Donald Trump over the last 16 months or so, from the coming down the escalator to the rise to the White House, is going to be dissected. It's going to be studied. It's going to be dissected again. It's going to be studied again. It's going to be broken up and broken down. Campaigns to come are going to look and see how they can capitalize on what he did. Campaigns that have lost in the past are going to wonder why they've lost and should they be doing more like the Donald has done. One thing's for sure, though, it was at times nasty, and it wasn't just the candidates that were nasty. Last night, Kellyanne Conway, and I think it was Robbie Mook is his name, and a few other people were in Harvard. Were at Harvard! And they took to it. But Kellyanne Conway first was on with Fox last night, and it was an interesting thing she talked about before we get to the clips with her battling it out with Jennifer Palmieri and a few others.
Most of it was civil. It was a conversation about the mechanics and the messaging and the road to 270. But I do think some people are stuck in the permanent campaign and not really past the anger, grief, and denial stages and into the acceptance stages.
Speaking of anger, grief, and denial, we got a new place that's just opening up, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But they went at it last night. And let me tell you something. Politics has never been civil. The difference is, for the first time, I think, in our history, we as a nation were dragged into the argument. We as a nation were dragged into the argument where we could post things that we wanted to post. We could be a supporter. We could be somebody who is against somebody. We could whine. We could laugh. We could bitch. We could moan. We could threaten. We could do all of those things at the touch of our fingertips. And that, to me, was very eye-opening this time. Because, yes, social media was around 4 years ago, but it wasn't as contentious as it is now. How many of you lost friends? How many of you had people on Facebook who unfriended you, or you unfriended people, or you stopped following them, or you just got off of it? Too many. So last night, Kellyanne Conway was there at Harvard, and they were, again, this is one of these things where they're going to dissect this. They're going to look at it in the rearview mirror and say, okay, how did we get here? They're going to break it down, and it's going to be something for generations to come to study. But they're there, and a lot of these colleges bring people like Kellyanne Conway and Jennifer Palmieri and many other people from many of the places and the candidates who've been in situations like this as kind of a historical record thing. And they, let's just say this, for an evening that should have been an interesting talk, it became more of that same reality TV. Take it away.
I would rather lose than win the way you guys did.
No, you wouldn't. That's very clear today. No, you wouldn't, respectfully.
Absolutely.
Do you think I ran a campaign where white supremacists had a platform? You going to look me in the face and tell me that?
It did.
First of all, when they said they would have rather lost the campaign than won, that's the biggest lie. That's the biggest lie. That right there is the absolute biggest lie told in this entire campaign season. That was the biggest lie. Period. Case closed. Period. Case closed. She wanted to win. Hillary wanted to win. Looking back on it, they would have done a lot of things differently to win. If you really thought that was important, Jennifer Palmieri, just let me tell you something. If you thought about it being above board, you would have made sure that Hillary had all of her ducks in a row and had released everything so everybody could say, oh, you wanted to win. Kellyanne Conway hits back here, and this is something I think is very vital, and it will be talked about moving forward for many, many, many campaigns to come.
Do you think you could have just had a decent message for the white working class voters? Do you think this woman who has nothing in common with anybody...
I'm not saying that's what you won, but that's the campaign
we flipped it over 200. How about it's Hillary Clinton? She doesn't connect with people. How about they have nothing in common with her?
True. That everybody said that. And look, going forward, people will study Hillary and how not to be a politician like that. When you were a kid growing up, it was always kissing the baby, right? You always see a politician out there shaking hands and kissing the baby. That was not Hillary. Hillary was as far away and detached as the Queen of England is from her subjects. That's scary. She was right. She was absolutely right. He profited vote-wise to a lot of people because he had the white, middle, working class that is struggling in places like Pennsylvania, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, we talked about it ad nauseum, but it's just so funny because the left is still fighting the fight. Like the right was after Obama won. They still fought the fought. They had to get out there. They'd fight. They still had to have their say. Well, now it's the left's turn, and they're still fighting it. And they're fighting it over and over again. It's too late. Nothing's going to change. By the way, I think Hillary picked up one vote in the Wisconsin recount. Not going to get it done, Hillary. Not going to get it done. Kellyanne Conway then moves over to not my namesake as far as family, but definitely my namesake as far as last name, Joel Benson, as they argue some more.
The fact of the matter is that more Americans voted for Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump. So let's put it in
total
context.
And there was nothing
context.
That said the road to popular vote anywhere.
Kellyanne,
road to
I'm not. I
That's
started. I premised my statement by saying
you
that, but you can't then.
Hey, guys, we won.
Boom. Scoreboard. Drop the microphone. Thank you so much for coming. We won. We won. We won. That was the takeaway there. Look, there are a lot of people out there that are frustrated. There are a lot of people out there that are upset. I saw people last night when, you know, and I find it hilarious that they're apparently announcing that Trump is going on a 10-city tour, a thank you tour. Which are going to have a bunch of people outside complaining, whining, bitching, moaning about the fact that they lost, about the fact that they thought, you know, how can this happen? Hearing stories, I read a great article today in Vox of a therapist talking about people are struggling with this. To the point where many of them feel it's a 9/11 incident in their lifetime, especially a younger generation who maybe didn't grasp 9/11 what it meant. But people are struggling with this. They're struggling with this because it's a loss of a loved one. They are struggling with this because, quite frankly, they've never really felt loss in their life. They just assumed she was going to win. They just assumed the victory was hers. There was no way it couldn't happen. There's no way that we could elect a person like this who's evil. They just assumed. And that loss is eating them up inside. And they're going through the stages of grief. And now therapists and people and counselors are meeting with people to help them through this. I talked to somebody this afternoon who is flabbergasted. Who is absolutely, she's beside herself. She's upset. She said she can't sleep. She can't eat. It's crazy. It is. But it's true. Again, I don't understand the thinking of a lot of people. Get over yourself. Move forward. I've never let anything in my, you know, 9/11 was massive. The fact that people even compare this to 9/11 is ridiculous. Lives were lost. Lots of lives, not just the 3,000 that day, but the subsequent thousands moving forward in the battle against terror. How anybody could say that this is like the loss of a loved one? Beyond me. But that's the way people feel. I don't know. What I do know is where there is hurt feelings, there is ways to fix hurt feelings. And the way that you fix hurt feelings is you go to therapy. But sometimes therapy's not even enough. Sometimes you need a more in-depth therapy. Some people call it post-election stress disorder. And there's now a company that helps with that. Are you suffering from PESD, post-election stress disorder? Are you terrified that Trump troopers are coming to lock you up? Do you see food handlers, Uber drivers, even supermarket baggers sporting tiny little Hitler mustaches? Are you more paranoid than Kanye West? Calm down. We are here to help you. We have trained Trump trauma therapists to take your calls. They can talk you back from the ledge and help you pick your very own safe space. Call us now at 555-NO-PLACE-FOR-REALITY. That's 555-NO-PLACE-FOR-REALITY. When your delicate ego has been bruised and your mommy can't fix things anymore, No Place for Reality is here to help you. No Place for Reality is sponsored by Harry's Gluten-Free Dog Treats and Hillary for President 2020. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Love when you text the show. Got a lot of text messages coming in throughout the day because some people podcast the show and some people who are, this last couple of weeks, we've pissed some people off with some of the stuff that we've done, from Creed to Nickelback to the fight for 15. And last night I had a very in-depth conversation that started out as an insult, but it became a discussion with somebody. It became a discussion. And I posted something today about truth, and we will talk about truth, and we'll talk about reality in the world. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
I mean, this guy's a total whack job.
Last night, I had a conversation with a guy, very nice guy. It didn't start out nice. I'm not going to lie to you. Didn't start out nice. It started out with some anger, you know, just telling me what a horrible, you know, first of all, told me that I should only make 25 cents an hour because I'm horrible at my job. That's the first thing he said. And I said, thank you. You're right. And then, of course, I used the swipe on my phone, and I don't know if you guys do this, but my phone changes the, you know, sometimes, do you mean you or your, it doesn't even ask you that, it just changes it. So I'm going 100 miles an hour. And that's when he said, what a blowhard I am, and what an idiot I am. And it went from there. And all of this had to do with the fact that I talked about the fight for 15 the other day. Look, if you listen to my show and you take away anything, know this, I'm a fair individual. I have always been fair. I always will be fair. I think there is always truth out there, and truth doesn't lie on one side or the other, right? Truth is usually in the middle. Sometimes it skews to the right. Sometimes it skews to the left. But truth can be found if we're really willing to look for it. And he and I started talking, and I'm like, well, I have no, because first of all, I had no idea what the hell he was talking about. And then he finally started going on about, you know, people make this much money and that much money, And I just said, look, you know what? Open your mind a little bit. Open your mind a little bit. Here's the thing, though, when I'm starting to learn with people is, I think some people are just preconditioned to lead with their heart and not with their head. I think it's always been that way. But even with politics, even with presenting facts in front of you, I told the guy, look, I'm not going to say all corporations are great, but not all corporations are evil. He's like, well, they're just in it to make money. Damn, Skippy, I have a business. I have partners. I have investors. I'm in it to make money. Because if not, then what's the deal? But as I started to talk to the guy, and again, he and I, we had a very civil conversation. He even said later on, I want to thank you for your civil conversation. I said, no worries. Like I said, you can text me your hate. You can do all these kind of things. I'm fine with that. Just keep an open mind that we could talk. And I'm a facts, not feelings guy. And I posted something today that I think many people forget. And many people don't like to take this in. But when you look at facts and feelings, you have to look at all of the things, the truth about life, right? Not just the feelings and stuff. Just because you want something to be so doesn't make it so. And one of the great leaders of all time was Winston Churchill. And he said something about truth that I think is very real. The truth is inconvertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is. Meaning, no matter how much you want something to be so, no matter how much you yell at it, no matter how much you want your point to be true, if truth is sitting right there in front of you, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. The fight for 15 people, as I have said, some of them have fallen on hard times. But a lot of them want change without changing themselves. A lot of them want to change a lot of things without changing themselves. They don't want to do anything to better themselves. And I told the guy that last night. He goes, you know, if inflation, if prices and minimum wage would have kept up with inflation, you know, minimum wage would be $19 an hour. And I said, yeah, and stuff would be a lot more expensive. And people would be going, we need $25 an hour for living wage. But what I started to realize over the last several months is some people are so preconditioned to lead with feelings that the facts just, all they are is they get in the way of what they want them to be. They're not stupid. They're not ignorant. They just have a different viewpoint of life that has to do with human nature and feelings. And facts are that dirty little thing that get in the way at times. And even if you point it out, and even if they realize it's what you're saying is correct, doesn't make it so to them. Chad Benson Show.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It happened in South Carolina. It took place in broad daylight, and we all saw it. It was really one of those things that I think a lot of us were shocked to see because it looked like murder. I think it's the best way to describe it. You had Officer Michael Slager and Walter Scott, an unarmed black man, in what looked like a park setting. Walter Scott was running for his life when he was shot from behind by the police officer. The 50-year-old Scott died there. Multiple times he was hit. It was tough to see. And this was at a time when there was a lot of issues happening between the African-American community, minority communities, and the law enforcement community. But it looked like if there was ever a slam dunk case, and if you don't remember it, Walter Scott was wanted, I believe, for a violation of his, it was like child support, it was stupid. It was nonviolent offense. But he had said that the person who was inside the car with him, that he was going to run if he got pulled over. And what we saw, and always remember this, what we see is rarely where it starts. Now, we've got more cameras inside cars now, and a lot of the police officers, especially over the last 18 months, are getting cameras on those body cameras. But this was at a time when somebody filmed it from the part where he was running and then he was shot. What took place preceding before that, I don't know. But all I could say is, I don't know what he did at that moment in time, but all I saw is a black man running and a white cop shooting him. That's it. That's what I saw. Shooting him in the back. Like the kind, if we were in cowboy days, people are like, you're the worst, man. You don't shoot people in the back. The jury is hung on this. One juror has said that I cannot, in good conscience, convict Officer Slager of murder. Some of the other things that observers have said that this is, you know, again, another situation where it raises the eyebrows. There are 12 jurors, 11 white, 1 black. 11 white, 1 black. What does it mean? Now, remember, there's a lot of things that conviction could bring. But if the hung jury is it, the anger that's out there, I think it'll be palpable. You could feel it. Shock. Absolutely. Now, what a lot of people are saying is, look, if this is a hung jury, it's good for him. What he could probably do is either get manslaughter or ask for involuntary manslaughter, where he may only get 4 or 5 years, may only spend 2 or 3 years in prison. Manslaughter carries anywhere from 2 to 30 years without parole in South Carolina. But involuntary manslaughter, that's 5 years. Probably get paroled early. What the jurors are saying is, look, Officer Slager was engaged in a fight. Walter Scott reached for his taser, tried to take it from him. That may or may not be true. I wasn't there. Neither were you. The only people that know what happened on that day were right there and the person that was filming it. That's one thing I would like to, you know, I'd like to hear more about. What did that person, that third eyewitness, the person that filmed it, did they get all of it? The person was in the car with them. They understand. I mean, those things I think we all have a right to know. If we're gonna try this in the court of public opinion, then I think we should have a right and understanding to know. But even if he reached for the taser, he was running away. He wasn't wanted for murder. He wasn't wanted for anything that would suggest that this guy needs to be brought down like this. Can you understand the anger that people have in the African American community? Can you understand it? This was, Producer Phil, you've seen this. You and I both said, this is as slam dunk as it gets.
It certainly looked that way.
And again, I don't know what took place before. But whatever took place before was over. The guy didn't have anything. Officer Slager had his gun. Officer Slager had his gun and was pointing at him. If he would have ran away and Slager was out of breath and couldn't catch him or he was injured or whatever, you can get him later. But Chet, no. The punishment that happened on that day did not fit the crime that befell that man. Did not. I have said all along, you can be both pro-police and pro-human being. You can realize that human beings can be evil, can be bad, can be dangerous, and you can realize that you can have bad cops. But you can also realize you have good cops and you have good people. And sometimes they intercede with one another. Sometimes it's an accident. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's on purpose. I'm looking at this and I don't know how they're going to get past this hung jury, which is a big thing for him. And how a city who might, and remember this, this is Charleston. This is where Dylann Roof killed 9? How would you feel? Let me ask you, how would you feel as a person? As I talked to somebody last night, I said, you know, here's the thing. We were talking about something similar to this. And I said, I don't know what it's like to be black. Now, I don't buy into the theory of white privilege. But you know what I do buy in the theory of? White advantage. White advantage. And that is, I can drive my car and I don't have to worry about being pulled over. Now, that's changed over the years as I've become more and more tatted. I've got pulled over in my complex because my neighbors think I'm some sort of thug. It's happened 3 times. Just to let you know. By the police in a private complex. But I don't know what it's like to drive while black. I don't know what it's like to walk into a store while being black. I don't. I'm Look, and I'm one of these guys that, like I said, I am as very open, as honest as anybody is going to be. I like to talk about stuff like this because I think this is stuff that matters to us as human beings. The stuff that takes off in Washington and a lot of these other places, that stuff's neat to talk about, but it is what it is. It's very myopic and it's very just there. This is real stuff because all of us deal with human emotions and human, and we've all dealt with bias and we've all dealt with some sort of thoughts that we look back and think, I wish I would have thought like that. I wish I wouldn't have said that. We've all dealt with these kind of things. I don't know what it's like to be black. I don't. But what I do know is I see a lot of people out there, especially in my industry, who they jump on one side of something and don't ever put themselves in other people's shoes. Just like I said earlier in the last segment, you know what? What I've learned from a lot of people, not Democrats, but people who are very progressive, very, very liberal, is they lead with their heart and facts are just that messy things that get in the way. On the opposite side, I see a lot of people on the right who lead with only facts, believe only one thing, and even if that thing's not true, they don't let their human emotions or any kind of empathy be a part of anything. This is a very sad situation, but I got to be honest. To me, more than sad, is this an indictment on us? Again, I don't know the whole story. I don't. But what I do know is I'm going to call it as I see it, and I don't think that warranted being shot to death. I don't think a man running away from somebody who he may or may not have gotten a scuffle with, who may or may not have reached for his taser, I don't think that warranted slugs in the back and dying for something as trivial. If he was a wanted murderer who was running away and he had a weapon, I could see a situation where you may act and you may even say, look, this guy had killed some people. This guy was a wanted murderer. He had done some horrible things. We have been looking for him everywhere. But that wasn't the case here. But you just never know. That's the thing in life. You just never know. And I looked at this today, and when the news just came through that there was this hung jury, and that one juror sent a note to the judge saying, I can't in my right conscience convict him of murder. It makes you think. It does make you think. All I ask you to do is put yourself in other people's shoes for just a moment. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Good news for the economy, which means maybe good news for people spending money this Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, we're going to lighten it up a little bit. How expensive is the 12 days of Christmas? Chad Benson Show.
Okay. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, my God. What's the name? Bob and...
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Bob and Doug McKenzie. What's that movie they did?
Strange Brew.
Strange Brew. Absolutely fantastic. I love it. How's it going, eh? 12 Days of Christmas. I've never really understood the 12 Days of Christmas. First of all, I wouldn't even know where to get 90% of the stuff that's in the 12 Days of Christmas, let alone why I would want some of these things. But this year, they have tallied up the 12 days of Christmas, and it is up a little bit. It is up a little bit, just a little bump, according to PNC Wealth Management Christmas Price Index. Let's take a look at this. First of all, we start with the 12 drummers drumming per performance. It is going to be $2,934. That is an increase of almost $100 for last year. Drummers are definitely in high demand during the Christmas season. 11 pipers piping. That too is up. $2,700 for that, up about $70. Now, this to me has always been the one that's the hardest to find. And producer Phil, I don't know if you if they have a store for these, but could you get us 10 Lords of Leaping?
I'll see if Party City has them.
Where, like, what does that even mean? Like, what are 10 Lords of Leaping? I'm curious. If anybody knows, 323-538-2423, text the show. Nine Ladies Dancing, $7,500 for that. And that can be, well, that's one you can get us, Phil.
Is that one in dollar bills?
That is all in dollar bills, sweat and glitter and a little bit of shame.
There's a place right down the street we can get those.
That's right. Merry Christmas. And here's the ladies who couldn't be part of the nine leads ladies dancing. Eight maids of milking. They're only $58. They're cheap. Chad, you just made fun of milkmaids. You're a super jerk. Probably. This is the most expensive, but it was the same last year. For $13,125, ladies and gentlemen, seven swans of swimming. I didn't realize swans cost that much. Because for like $50, you could probably, you know, and somebody who's willing to spend a day or two with you, you could probably snake them up. But I think they're, can you even buy a swan? Are they endangered or not?
I have no idea. I've never seen them in the pet store.
Here's their goofy cousin, six geese a-layings, $360 for that. Five golden rings, same as it was last year, $750 for those things.
Those are, man, you're cheap. You're getting cheap rings for that.
You're getting super, you're not getting 18 carat. You're getting like that. You're getting the gold dust.
You're getting those in the Walmart jewelry department.
You're getting the Walmart jewelry gold. Enjoy this. Like you put it on and then 3 days later, your finger's green. Yeah, that's what you're getting. Let's see here. Four calling birds. That's $600 for those bad dogs. Three French hens. $182 for those. Same as it was last year. Here's the big jump right here. Two turtle doves. Almost $400 for the two turtle doves. Where do you find two turtle doves? And you know why it's two turtle doves? I figured this out. You know why?
Why?
Because they mate forever.
Aw.
I know, right? You could have got lobster. Aren't they together forever? Penguins, same thing. I'd rather have a penguin than a dove. Like, you see doves. Like I see a dove. I'm like, oh, that's a dove. It's nice. Whatever, right? But if you saw a penguin, you're like, damn, that guy's got a penguin. How cool is that? Like two awesome penguins. Oh. A pear tree's $190, and a partridge actually is down a little bit. That's only $20. Last year was $25, bringing your grand total this year to $34,363, up from $34,131 last year. I think the nine ladies dancing would probably have been the one I would want, if you want to get me that. If you want to know what to get Phil and I for Christmas this year, that's what we'd like. Hey, Obama is leaving the White House, and he could say, I left it with a at least last good jobs report. Yeah, there'll be a January one, but this was really a decent holiday gift right here. The economy's expanded 3.2% at the annual rate through July of this year through September. Home prices are back near all-time highs. Unemployment's at the lowest rate since 2007. It's always an iffy kind of thing with unemployment. Read between the lines because some people aren't looking for work. Some people are working double jobs. So it's not really... the middle class is getting a little bit of a raise as well, finally. And as I said to somebody last night who was not a fan of Obama, I said, look, whether you like him or hate him, you know, you should never hate him. I give no reason to hate the guy, but a lot of people do. Whether you do or don't, the guy walked into a crappy situation. So understand that he walked into a very crappy situation. Did he handle it as well as he should have? I don't think so. But in saying that, I think he did what he thought was right for the company. I think there was a lot of missteps along the way, and he could have handled it better. Chief economist at Capital Economics, Paul Ashworth, says the Obama economy deserves a B or a B+. I'd give it a C+, maybe a C, not a B. Not the worst thing we've ever seen. I think we just hit the perfect storm of things that, you know, a changing world, a global economy, technology, all these kind of things just rolled into one. It wasn't just all his moves, but definitely his moves hurt in some areas. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Texting the show is always great, 323-538-2423. And if you want to go old school, you can call us, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.